Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about what Jesus spoke about at the Olivet Discourse. During the Olivet Discourse, that is, where he described for the apostles as they were looking at the temple, the beautiful temple, the dwelling place of God at that time, it was the center of Jewish life, and Jesus said it was all going to come down, stone upon stone. And of course, that happened in 70 AD. It was a kind of foreshadowing of the final battle that was going to come. And in the context of that conversation, Jesus also talked about what would it be like when he returns. And he called the apostles to be alert, to be awake, to be sober, to be clear-headed, to watch and to wait, and above all, to not be deceived, that the central temptation and strategy of Satan is to deceive God's people, and even to take those who don't know God into deeper, deeper lies and deceptions. You remember how effective he was in the garden, even with Adam and Eve, and God's command that they not eat of the tree, and the serpent came and slowly seduced Eve and Adam into not trusting God. First of all, by raising the question, did he really say? I mean, Eve was pretty clear that she heard pretty clear that that tree was not meant to be touched, not meant to be, nothing from that tree should be eaten. And the devil tries to get her to doubt just a little bit. Did he really say that? Are you sure? And then she comes back and her doubts a little bit there. And then he starts raising a question like, why would he withhold that tree from you? Have you given it some thought, Eve? Have you given it some thought, Adam? I think the logical thing is he's holding it back because he doesn't want you to have his power and his influence. You can have it. You can have it. It's right there. And then they respond, no. He said if we eat of the tree, we will die. And then the devil just comes right out with a big, bold lie. Did he say that? He didn't say that. He didn't say that you'd die, right? And so confusion, deception, playing with human imagination, the human will, and then once the fall happens, he's got a greater entry point, you could say. So Jesus warns us again and again, don't be deceived, don't be led astray. Friends, it's not hard to see that millions upon millions upon millions of baptized people have been led astray for the things that they're promoting, abortion, euthanasia, the whole transgender realities, just one thing after another, terrible, terrible stuff that's becoming written in law, and they're dancing and happy about all these things being able to be done. They're all from a calling good evil, evil good. There's a lot that can be said about it. Maybe we'll take it up in more detail in the weeks ahead, but that deception being led astray is really happening. And so is the kind of the idea that all religions are the same. Every path up the mountain goes to the same place. Christianity does not have any particular pride of place. Again, people buying it all the time. Or I can self-create. Self-creative individualism is the source of all happiness and what human beings are all meant to be about rather than receiving from God, God's purpose, God's plan. God is the ground of all being. We all exist. He holds us in being. He gave us our identity. We don't create it. We don't make it up. So all that deception is just alive and working in our time. And many, many Christians are falling asleep. And we could be, it's possible, that what we're witnessing in the collapse of Christendom is the beginning of the great apostasy. It's possible. Now, just to review what Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse, beginning stage one, he described the birth pangs that would happen. Jesus said the beginning of the birth pangs would be identifiable. There'd be the rising of false Christs, people calling themselves the Savior, the Messiah, false prophets. Matthew 24 did the same thing. Deception would increase and intensify. Again, there would be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and famines and all of this. And then the birth pangs are not merely geopolitical events, but it also comes right down to every human heart to awaken humanity, to call sinners to repentance, to purify the church. That's what an alert body of people are like. The church's mission during these birth pangs, what do? It's the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. And then as it gets intensified, as we talked about during the tribulation and that comes with the rise of the Antichrist, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be betrayal, hatred, martyrdom. It's all going to be a part of it. But during that time, the gospel must first be preached to all nations before the Lord returns, and the gospel is going forward in that way. You could check paragraph 849 through 856. It touches on some of these things in the mission of the church. But the church will be engaged in her mission. A great apostasy will happen. The man of lawlessness will emerge, the Antichrist, empowered by Satan himself, and he will lead this great rebellion against the Lord. There'll be a huge falling away. Look at paragraph 675 of the Catechism. Before Christ's coming, the church must pass through this final trial. We're not going to get raptured out of it, like some Protestants say. It was made up 200 years ago. That's not going to happen. The Lord's believers are going to follow the Lord in his passion. The man of lawlessness will eventually be revealed. The restrainer that was holding back this man of lawlessness, that is the Antichrist. I've talked about it many times this week already. What the restrainer is, could be the church, the prayers of the church, the prayers of the saints, could be Michael, could be God the Father, could be a whole range of saints and current leaders, priests, others speculate about it, but we're not sure. But he is the lawless one. He opposes God. He exalts himself as God. He deceives many. He performs signs and wonders. He receives this significant satanic power. Why are people ultimately deceived during this time? Why do so many people fall away? Well, the dazzling power, they're looking at what glitters. The devil can find the entry points. Demonic spirits can find entry points in people's weaknesses. Have people been vigilant? Have they been walking in the light? Have been walking the sacraments? Have been living the faith? People who are in that position, they may have to do some battling, but they don't have to live in fear, because there's the power that's in them is enough to resist the working of the devil. Paul gives a remarkable answer to the question, why are people deceived? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, as we talked about yesterday, they refuse to love the truth and be saved. They refuse to love the truth. They have itching ears. They're pursuing other purposes, other pleasures, other personal truths in their life that they've elevated and made central or put in the first place. But they refuse to embrace the truth, which is the person of Jesus, ultimately. The final trial of the church will undergo persecution, deception, a religious counterfeit's going to emerge, pseudo-messianism is going to emerge. Are going to be, and there's the catechism you'll see talks about this, that there's forms of this pseudo messiah vision and effort in the world, demonic powers. For example, communism, it was utopian, right? It's going to save, it's going to feed the poor, it's going to level the playing field. There's going to be no people above other people. Everybody's going to be equal. And you saw what happened. I don't know. Was it 50 million people killed? Chairman Mao, didn't he kill like 40 million himself? What happened in China? And the great move forward, or whatever it was called? All utopian lies. It is impossible for human beings on the earth to save the planet. It's impossible for human beings to ultimately fix the world. There is no fixing of the world. The world is under a dominion of power. It's living a death-directed destiny. And being global citizens isn't going to change that. I'm not knocking good political efforts to do good stuff, but the whole world is under judgment. And the spiritual battle is so far beyond our politics, and it's often manipulating our politics and our love for money and our lust for this, that, and the other thing. Maybe the next pseudo-messiah is going to be AI. AI is going to solve it all for us. All our big problems are all going to be solved by this machinery, or part human, part machine. Maybe the neural lace put in human brain. Maybe that's going to supercharge the brain, and we're going to come up with all the answers to solve all the problems. And the fundamental problem is sin. It's death. It's dominion of the devil. No human effort can take care of these problems. And so the church is warning us about these false messiahs. The church will follow Christ in her passion, but the glorious return of the Lord will take place. Jesus spoke very clearly It's going to be visible. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be his victory. The resurrection of the dead, the final judgment, the new creation, the defeat of Satan. Blessed be God. We ought to look forward, friends, to our death in God's way, in God's timing, the final judgment, the personal, the particular judgment that'll happen, the particular judgment will happen when we die. But we can anticipate it with joy, with humility and great joy, because the saving work of Jesus has happened in our lives. We have to live in it and we have to die in it. We can't mess around. We can't play with sin. We can't live in the twilight. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We have to go all in. That is clearly what Jesus said and the apostles say and the saints tell us. Lukewarmness doesn't get you there. In fact, the book of Revelation said, the Lord hates lukewarmness. He'll spit it out of his mouth. So some practical wisdom, stay rooted in the truth, in the word of God, in the catechism, in the teaching of the magisterium of the church, read the lives of the saints. Persevere in holiness, Luke 21:19. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. By your endurance. Friends, you don't just kind of glide into the kingdom. You don't just slide into the kingdom. It requires everything. It requires loving God above all things and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Expect to suffer without fear. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be surprised when suffering comes. It's going to come. Number four, live in joyful hope. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, Romans 13:11. Christ is our future. Christ is our destiny. Christ is our life. We don't have to be afraid. So the major themes that Jesus talked about, spiritual deception, false Christ, false prophets, false miracles, apostasy, international upheavals, wars, international conflict, political instability, natural upheavals, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, cosmic disturbances, persecution of the church, the great tribulation, martyrdom, universal hatred and betrayal, moral decline, lawlessness, love growing cold, conditions like the days of Noah and Lot, redemptive milestones, the gospel will be preached to the nations, the abomination of desolation is going to happen, the great tribulation and the glorious return of the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. He cannot be defeated. The question is, whose side are you on? Are we really hearing the serious exhortation that Jesus himself gave and bestowed on the apostles and they gave to us? It's come down to us in the apostolic succession and the preaching of the church and the word of God, the teaching of the magisterium, the lives of the saints. Friends, the clock is ticking. Life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's a breath. Are you ready? Are you walking in the light? Are you loving the truth? Are you loving the truth that is a person, Jesus of Nazareth, with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, all your strength? That's the key. And are you engaging in his mission and being living witnesses for the sake of the salvation of others? That's our call. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend. Share some of this good stuff with your family.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes scripture, catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.